I mentioned earlier that I do about 20 speaking engagements a year, and what I've noticed is that I've been speaking now professionally for 9 years. I've been speaking in churches for 22 years, every Sunday. And what I've discovered is that I still get nervous. People say, "Do you get nervous?" And oh yeah, I still get nervous. And I mean, I spoke one time to a group in China. It was a 3-hour speech through a translator, 4,500 people. So I was nervous. But then I did a speech to 40 executives from the automotive industry at a private resort, and I was nervous. So it really has nothing to do with the people. I find that it has to do with wanting to be sharp, to really wanting to do well. But today, I really don't care. In fact, if anybody should be nervous, it's you guys. Because I'm going to continue the book we've been talking about, The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity, and Johan is going to click through a few of these. Now, we gave out copies of these books to a number of you. What we did was we decided as our tithe to buy copies of these books and give them to those of you who were here over a 2-week period. Raise your hand if you've got one of the books. Keep your hand raised if you've finished the book. Yeah, good, okay. See, that's the other nice thing. I don't get paid, y'all can't fire me, so I can get in your face just as much as I feel is necessary. A couple of years ago, someone gave me a book called The Millionaire Messenger, which all talks about how basically to do what I do for a living, which is to be a professional speaker and an author. It's a wonderful book, and it's all about living your purpose and your dream and doing it well. Somebody gave me the book, and I said, well, you know, my situation's a little different. My situation. I read the book, and I said, thanks for giving it to me. It was really nice of you to think of me, but my situation's a little different. Well, about 2 years later, when I was going, oh my God, my business, what am I doing? I'm just not working, nothing is working. I picked up the book again, and I realized I wasn't different. And that book totally changed my life and how I'm doing it. We really gave you this book because it's the most important book I think you'll ever read. It's a book I have read over and over again. Outside of my own books, it is the only book I intend to teach. Edwin Gaines is a woman who, as I shared with you, studied a direct lineage from Charles Fillmore, the author of Prosperity, through, her name is not coming to me right now. Catherine Ponder, thank you, through Catherine Ponder. Catherine Ponder is her prosperity mentor. Edwin is my prosperity mentor. I've known Edwin for 10 years now, since I was the director of retreats at Unity Village. We were always like, gosh, who could we get? Who would just really rock this place? And everybody was like, we want Edwin Gaines. Everybody's like, oh, you can't get her. She's too popular, you know, blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? We asked her. She came. She's the most gracious person. And what I want you to understand about Edwin, I won't tell you how old she is, but I call her mom. And I'm 55. And the math works. Anyway, she set an intention to transform the prosperity consciousness of the world 40 years ago. She travels and does, on average, 225 speeches a year, and she's in her 70s. She does not need the money. She does it because she's seen this change people's lives. Don't put the book in the shelf. Put it in you. Read that book. If you weren't fortunate enough to be here when we did it, go to Amazon when we gave them away. Get a copy of this book. I cannot, and I'm saying this on camera to you watching, get a copy of this book, okay? Now, I said that y'all should be nervous, and you know why? Well, first of all, let me ask you a question. What is the Socratic method? Does anybody know, what is the Socratic method of teaching? Lay it out there. What else? By example? No. It's asking questions. The Socratic method is that Socrates got all of his followers together, including Aristotle, and he would just simply ask questions because he believed that the truth was in them. So guess who's doing the talk this morning? Well, there are pictures on your driver's license, because I'm going to ask you all questions based on what we talked about last week, and I think you'll be surprised how much you already know. But let's talk about what prosperity is. Let's see if we can name it before we go through the slides, because I think a lot of you already know what prosperity is. What, there are four attributes of prosperity. What are they? Somebody shout one out. Get used to it. Health. All right. It is a vitally alive, healthy body to support the spiritual beings that we are. If your body is all, you are not prosperous, no matter how much money you have. Okay? Very good. That's one. Two. Relationships that work all the time. I can't wait to talk on that. That's coming up. Relationships that work all the time. Very good. What's the third thing? As much money as you want to spend. And there's nothing wrong with that. As much money as you want to spend. And number four,
a job that you would love so much,
it's play. It's not work. Anybody interested in any of those four aspects, raise your hands. I'm here to tell you, after applying those things for 10 years, what we are going to teach you related to this book, specifically out of Edwin's book, is the direct path there. Those of you who have practiced this, this is simple, yes? Say yes?
Yes.
This is not easy, yes? Yes, because the first thing we're going to talk about this morning is what we talked about last week. So go ahead and skip through, Johan. That's good. We'll go right up to the green sign that says prosperity is. Relationships that are satisfying and nurturing, all the money you can spend. And the next one, please. Work that we love so much that it's not work, it's play. And we'll let it sit there. So what did I talk about last week? See, we've already started the Socratic method, and it worked right there, Buffy. Way to go. Get into it, because this is how it's going to go. What did I talk about last week? Tithing. Tithing is what I talked about last week, was tithing. Now, I'm sure a number of you came this week after having been here last week thinking, thank God that's over. He's not going to bring it up again. Guess what? Like I said, I'm not letting this go because you need to hear this. You need to understand what tithing is. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm a person who's never heard of tithing. Many of you heard what I said last week. Many of you have read the book. What is tithing?
Spiritual food.
Beautiful. I'm listening because I need to repeat it back because we're not Mike. The audience isn't Mike. It is giving 10% of your income to where you receive your spiritual food from. Is that correct? Okay, 10% of your income, is that gross or net?
Gross.
Gross, good, it is gross. So why is it called tithing? Okay, so if I give 4% of my tithing, if I give 7% of my tithing, if I give 25% of my tithing, yes, you are. Anything 10% and above, you can't outgive God. Trust me, when you start doing this, you'll go, wow, I tithed last year. Wow, I gave 13% this year, more like 15. It just happens. Sorry, I'm not supposed to be doing the preaching, y'all are. Next question. It's frozen on Marty's picture here. There we go. What is the spiritual basis for tithing? Okay, whoever gives you spiritual strength, whoever feeds you spiritually. What does that mean? I walk around all week. How do I know?
People that make you who you are.
People that make you remember who I am. I'm a white male from South Carolina.
You're prosperous, you deserve.
My prosperous, I deserve. Could that be somebody I read a book by or something like that?
Absolutely.
Yes? Who else could it be?
It could be your
kids, it could be your church,
your family,
friends.
Someone that gave you a book.
A book?
Your ex-husband?
Wait. Your ex-husband, why would you want to give money to your ex-husband? I mean, you know, there's that old joke about the definition of ambivalence is seeing your brand new Mercedes go over a cliff with your ex-spouse in it. You know, there's pros and cons here, so why in the world would you? And you all know I'm trying to be funny, even though I'm not succeeding. Why would you give money to your ex-spouse?
Teaching you valuable spiritual lessons.
Teaching you valuable spiritual lessons like to forgive. Wow. Jesus Christ said, where your money is, there your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Yeah. Sometimes to forgive, you tithe to somebody, even though it's somebody you don't like. But you just, in a way, you're saying, I'm preaching again. You're saying I'm bigger than that. When should I tithe? Every time you get money. Now, somebody asked me, because we had some students here last week, I've just taken money out in student loans. Do I tithe on my student loans when the money comes in?
No, it's money.
Exactly. It's income. It's income, and it's unexpected income, and it's found money. And when you start tithing, you will have unexpected income, and you will have money. As we shared, every tithing person has a tithing story. Why should I tithe? Some people, and y'all are great. Let's give somebody else a try who's going, God, I hope he doesn't call on me. And I won't call on you, but if you haven't said, why in your opinion should you tithe? And please be honest with me. I know, hang on, Paul. Let's get somebody who hasn't spoken. Why should we tithe? Beautiful. When you give, you receive because you become a conduit through which it flows. That is so good. There's energy moving. If you think about it, money is absolutely worthless. The value behind the money is the value that we give it. We say that we'll do certain things for certain amounts of money, but the money itself has no value. When we're giving, we're getting into the value system. Does that make sense? And we're attracting it to us. We're attracting more to be given to us. When we give, we literally are opening it up. And why don't most, I'm going to jump in here because I have to. I'm just going crazy. People don't give because they don't feel like they have enough. The problem is not that they don't have enough. It's the feeling that they don't have enough. You with me? I don't know about you, but I've done this before. I've always, in most cases, I'm not saying almost always worked for myself. I've always been in sales or something like that. My income was totally up to me. And there were times when I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I really would get worried. And it was in those moments that I would take myself out to a nice dinner or buy myself a nice pair of shoes, to put myself in the prosperity mindset to say that God is always delivered and God always will deliver. When we give, we put ourselves into the divine flow. All right, some more questions. Sure, I love it. That's a very good question. And a lot of people say, I would like to tithe my time. Tithing time doesn't really work in the spiritual context of prosperity because what most people are not trying to draw to them is more time. What most people want to draw to them in a prosperity sense is to draw to themselves more money. And so the idea is give from a sense of I have more than enough. With the idea of attracting. If a person feels that they, and this is very true too, if you feel overrushed and I don't have enough time, that's the time to go give some time to somebody else. Listen to them. I walk my dog. I'll call my father. You know what I mean? Well, please go ahead. I don't feel like I've satisfied your question. Or let's talk some more. Right. Exactly, and whether or not you receive, and that's one of the things about tithing is that we think that when we tithe to a particular arena, that we're going to be blessed back from that arena. We don't choose the source of the way our good comes to us. We just know that it's going to, and it does.
You were taught that not only were you
right.
To tithe, you were to give and tithe.
Right.
You weren't doing it correctly.
Yeah. Having been a minister, having being an ordained minister, how do I say this nicely and truly, 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 truly? Because we used to teach the four T's, time, talent, treasure, and I don't remember the fourth one, whatever it was. But time, talent, treasure, and something. But anyway, we used to teach that as well. Churches would teach it a lot of times, honestly, because it would get people excited and they would start to give more time and more money, to be very honest. I think churches are in the spiritual food business. I really do. And I think that if people are going to that church, that's where they should be giving money. And but at the same time, we need to be looking. The purpose of tithing, in my opinion, is so that we look for spiritual food all week long. We should be looking, going, who's spiritually feeding me? Because as Jesus Christ said, seek and ye shall find. So if you're looking for spiritual food, what are you going to find? How many of y'all would like a little more spiritual food in your life? This is a true story. I got a call the other day. I was feeling kind of low. I was feeling a little low about some books and stuff. We all go through stuff. I got a call from a girl in Dubai. And I do mean girl, in my opinion. She's 22 years old. She read my book, A Complaint-Free World. She tracked me down to call me and tell me that I was an extremely important person on the planet today, and never to forget that. To me, that comes as a result of being in that flow, and tithing is how we get there. You know what? Y'all are asking me some great questions. Let's keep talking. Ask me some more questions. What else would you like to know about tithing? What questions are up for you? It's not just giving to church. It's not, and churches don't like that. It's not. But I'll tell you what, when I was the minister of the church on Berry Road, the Unity Church, I stood up and I used to say, don't just write a check here. Find out if you're being spiritually fed. Find out who else is spiritually feeding you. You should give proportionately to others. I kept saying, don't give here. Guess what happened? They gave. The budget doubled. We paid off half the $700,000 mortgage. But the thing is, seriously, be looking for who is spiritually feeding you and give 10%. When money comes in, say, here's my check or whatever it is, who, what, or where has spiritually fed me? All right, I got some more questions for y'all if y'all don't have any questions for me. Either way, I'm going to end up yapping my mouth, so. Okay, isn't tithing, this is one we just sort of answered, isn't tithing just a tricky way for churches and ministers to get your money? No, it never was intended originally. In my opinion, here's how tithing came about, and this is, I know I'm going to walk a thin line here, but this is something Marty came up with, and I think it's nothing shy of brilliant. And that is that tithing comes from the book of Malachi, Malachi 3:10. Bring all ye tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my hand, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, that I will not open up the windows of heaven, that there will not be enough to capture all of my blessings. It was a big, bold promise. Well, the Israelite people started tithing. Now, this is where I get into tricky ground. When we tend to think of prosperous ethnic groups on the planet, who do we think of? Jewish people. Nobody write me negative, nasty letters. This is just a stated fact. Hollywood, the music industry, people who are Jewish people are, number one, very good with their money, but number two, they were taught to tithe, to give, and that is a big thing. That is the only religion. Christianity, of course, is an offshoot of Judaism. Buddhism does not teach it. Hinduism does not teach it. Judaism teaches it. When you think of countries that and nations that are predominantly Hindu and predominantly Buddhist, do you think of prosperous countries, yes or no? No. Spiritually beautiful, yes. But prosperous, and this is why we come back to giving money. You think of the Jewish people as being very, very well off. Now, I'm also educated enough to know that the reason that came about was that early Christians did not believe that it was okay to loan money for interest. And so there was no way of borrowing money. People wouldn't loan money because they weren't going to make interest. But the Jews had absolutely no compunction against that. It was an established business practice, and now we call them banks. So that's really where it all came from. Okay? What if I want to give to an organization and I can't get a tax deduction? It's a good question. I hear by laughing. Somebody answer it for me. I'm a new person considering tithing. Beautiful. Very good. How soon after I start tithing should I expect to see God give me something wonderful? That's a good answer, actually. Ah, doesn't the question sort of convey that you're not giving?
Or you're not believing?
You're bargaining. You're not giving. If you're giving with, hey, God, I'm going to do this and you better, it's not giving. You need to just give first. There you go. And it's also keeping you in line with that idea that I have more than enough to give. What if my significant other doesn't want to tithe and we share all of our money?
Too bad.
Hide it. Okay, one answer was hide it. Any other suggestions? Beautiful, Mary. Figure out your portion of the income and do what?
Tithe
on that. And you know what? I like I said, I've been teaching this for dozens of years. You know what always happens? One person starts tithing. It's usually the woman. She will start tithing, and then all of a sudden, things start just going kind of well for her. And then pretty soon, the guy gets in line too. Here we go. What if it doesn't work? That's like saying, what if gravity doesn't walk? Beautiful answer. Absolutely. Wonderful. Thank you. What if it, and but what if it doesn't work? Again, goes back to that idea of I'm giving to receive. But at the same time, we do know with tithing, there is receiving. And you're right. We need to just keep giving with the idea. Otherwise, we're going, you know, it's a petulant child. You know, I paid my ticket. Let me into the movie. This isn't that, okay? This is saying, my mom used to make bread, and I always think about tithing as like making bread, because she always kept a starter. You know what I'm talking about? She didn't make all the bread, she kept a starter. The tithe is the starter, and you have to give that away so there's more and more and more bread, okay? The last point I want to leave you with is that you're already tithing. I don't know if I shared that with you last week. Did I? Because this is so powerful, and people have told me this time and time and time again. Reverend Sally Taylor, who is also a prosperity teacher, figured this out, and she actually showed it on paper. What you realize is that you're already giving to the universe in hassles and problems and irritations. You're already having car problems, broken computers, this problem, your child losing that, all this kind of stuff. And I know this sounds absolutely crazy, but when you start tithing, somehow stuff like that happens less. And not only that, there's always money left over. I don't know how it works, but it does every time. And I'll leave you, because I want to be honest with you, with a word of advice, advisory word. How's that? Good thing I speak for a living. I can't figure out what to say. And that is that typically what happens, and it has to do with us, it has nothing to do with God. It has to do with the fact that when we start tithing, we're like, okay, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to do that. I'm going to write that check. I'm going to do this thing. And we start doing it, and we start doing it, and then we're like, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen, and we start getting, and then what happens usually is a major financial challenge. I'm just warning you. I'd love to tell you the other part. And people say, God is testing me, to which I say, God never tests you. God knows what you're made of. You're testing the system. You brought this into your life. If you can just stay with it, that little issue will get paid for, and then it starts getting good, and it starts getting comfortable, okay? So we're going to close with a prayer. I'm going to roll our tithe collection right into that. I've got one more thing to share, and we're going to close with a song. So grab hands, and let's pray. Infinite Spirit, bring all the tithes. The tithe is the first tenth. Bring it first. Trusting that there will be more because there's always more. Thank you, God, for helping us to get out of our own way. and to allow us to be the open channels of abundance that we were meant to be. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you for listening. I hope you find this to be a blessing in your life. If you do, be sure and podcast these broadcasts. That is, set your device, your phone, your iPad, your computer to automatically receive these. You can do it through iTunes or you can do it through podbean.com. Go to willbowen.podbean.com and subscribe. Have a great week. I look forward to talking to you real soon. You can connect with me at will@willbowen.com. Have a great day. Bye-bye.